Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is verse number 42 of Luke's gospel, chapter 23. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now the last words of people are very important. If that person is a loved one, there are words that you will never forget. There are words that will always be etched upon your mind and memory as long as you live upon this earth. I remember reading the Bible with a lady who was soon going to be with her Savior. Her final words to me after we read the Scriptures was, "I am in the Lord's hands." And in her hour of death, she showed great strength and great courage and fortitude. And such a testimony was all due to the saving grace and the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ in her own personal life. Well, in our text here tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, in the verse number 42, you have also the final words of a dying man. This man was one of the two thieves who were crucified on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ on the hill of Calvary. The Bible shows us that one of these thieves, he rejects the Lord Jesus as Savior, and he dies in his sin. And that shows you and I a very solemn truth, and that solemn truth that no one can presume on a deathbed repentance. There's some people, yes, and they'll tell you, "I'll get saved on my deathbed. I'll get saved 5 minutes before I die." Well, my, this passage of Scripture tonight is a warning to that kind of thinking. For here's a man also, and he was dying. He was leaving this world. He was soon to depart the scene of time, yet there is no record, no mention of him whatsoever of getting saved and getting right with God. My, no one can presume on a deathbed repentance. But the other thief, we read about him, he realizes his need of Christ. And he repents of his sin, and he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And his prayer for salvation is found in verse 42, the words of our text this evening. It says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." In his final moments upon this earth, this man is saved. This man is made an heir of heaven. And here we see the great truth that no repentant sinner need doubt or despair. Whoever he is, whoever she is, who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For the great promise of Christ to all is this, he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And friends, tonight in this gospel meeting, it is this dying man's prayer for salvation that I want you to consider with me. And if you are still not saved in this gospel meeting this evening, then my prayer is that you too will be saved, just as this man was saved many years ago, that Luke records in the Bible, that has been recorded for you and I to glean from and to take note from, the conversion of this dying thief. Notice first of all with me tonight that the concern that he showed in his prayer. Notice the concern that he shows in his prayer. He says here in verse 42, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And by those words we see that this man here, this thief, we're not told his name, but whoever he was, this man was concerned about going to heaven. My, when he would die, when his breath would depart from his body, he wanted to be in glory. That's why he prayed these words, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He wanted to be sure of heaven. He wanted to be sure of everlasting life and glory. This was the burden upon his heart as his life is ebbing from him, as he hangs upon the cross beside the Savior. And you know, this is how it is with many in this world in which we live. Yes, when all is well, there are many, and they have no thought of God. They have no thought of eternity. They have no thought of heaven or hell. But my, when trouble comes into their life, or maybe difficulties, maybe sickness, ill health, whatever, my, whenever they are facing death, such want to be in heaven, such want to be in glory. You read about a man in the Old Testament by the name of Balaam. He was an ungodly man. Yet strange to say, he had a desire for heaven, for he said these words. He says, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." It was this desire in his heart for heaven, even though he was an ungodly man. Friend, how is it with you tonight in this service? Maybe once there was no time or no thought given to heaven or hell or the great issues of eternity in your heart and in your life and soul. But maybe now things have changed in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. Maybe now through adverse circumstances or through difficulties that you've had to face or come to terms with, my, your mind is taken up with heaven. Your mind is taken up with glory. Your mind is taken up with, how can I be sure of heaven? How can I get to heaven? If that is so tonight, and if it is so, I thank God for it. But if that is so, I counsel you tonight to follow the example of this dying thief. And pray as he prayed in this verse tonight when he cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This man had a concern to be in God's heaven. Tell me tonight, as you sit in this meeting, is there a concern in your heart, a concern in your soul to be in heaven one day, to be in glory, to be with the Lord and the saints of God forevermore? But also tonight from our text, we see something else here about this man's concern. Not only was he concerned to be in heaven, but this man was also concerned that he had not much time to prepare for heaven. How do we know that? Well, you look at his prayer in our text. It's no long prayer. It's a very short prayer. It's a very concise prayer. There are simply 9 words in the prayer of this dying man. What are those words? "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He knew he had not much time left for him to prepare for heaven and to get right with God. And likewise, the Bible reminds you and I also that our time on this earth is very short and is very brief. My speaking of this very fact, the book of Job says in Job 14 verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And the light of eternity, our days are few. Our days are short upon this earth. The Bible tells us that the time is short. Unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, understand this, that you are not on this earth. You are not in this scene of time forever. You're not here forever. Your time left upon this earth may be very short. You do not know how long you have left. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Your time left allotted to you by God may be very short. It may be very brief. The hourglass of time for you may be quickly running out. It may soon be coming to an end. Therefore, my friend, you should make haste to Christ for salvation. The Bible says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Oh, as you sit in this meeting tonight in your unsaved condition, by this very moment, my, you should pray as this man prayed in our text this evening when he cried out, realizing that his time would soon be gone. He cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Does not the hymn writer say life at best is very brief? Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Friend, in the light of the brevity of life, if you're not saved, Follow the example of this man. Pray as he prayed when he cried out to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was concerned about going to heaven. He was concerned about the brevity of life, the shortness of time that he'd left upon this scene of time. But also I want you to notice something else here about this man's concern. We can say tonight that his concern to be in heaven, it was very great. It was momentous. It was really, if you like, the burden of his soul, the longing of his heart. As far as he was concerned at this point in time, there was nothing more important for him to be in heaven and to be in glory. Why do I say that? You think what was happening to this man at this time. He was being crucified. He was nailed to the cross beside our Savior. There were spikes through his feet, spikes through his hands, nailed to the cross beside the Savior. He would have been suffering awful pain. They say there was no death like the death of crucifixion. He would have been awful pain and agony as he was being crucified. Yet despite that awful pain that was going through his body at this particular time, as he was hung upon the cross between heaven and earth beside the Savior, he had to cry out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Such was the burden in his soul to get right with God and be sure of heaven. Pain and the suffering that he was going through did not hinder him from getting right with God and calling upon the Lord for salvation. Not only was he facing awful pain that day, he was facing an awful crowd. A crowd who had no time for Christ, a crowd who had no time for the gospel, a crowd who had no time for the people of God, who mocked the Lord, the Savior, who were the very enemies of Christ and the gospel and the people of God. Look at their animosity and their mockery in verses 35 to 37 of the chapter as they speak of Christ and their mockery and their derision. You see that? It says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. They derided Christ. They mocked him. He saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. They had no time for Christ. They had no time for the followers of Christ. Here was a crowd, and they were the very enemies of Christ and the gospel and the people of God. You read Psalm 22 tonight when you go home. And the psalmist there likens them unto the bulls of Bashan. Those who were completely opposed to Christ and the gospel. This was the crowd that was gathered around the cross that day. They were no friend of the gospel. They were no friend of Christianity. And my, this dying thief, he knew that. He saw that. He saw how they mocked Christ, how they derided Christ, how they jested at Christ. Yet despite all that, he has to call out to the Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Despite all these difficulties, the mocking crowd, the awful pain that he was undergoing and suffering as he was crucified. This man had to call upon the Lord for salvation. Such was the greatness, such was the burden of his need and his desire to get right with God in his heart and soul that day. As we look at this dying thief, we can say here was a man and he was determined to let no one or nothing hold him back from Christ. Hence he prays this prayer, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, I counsel you from this pulpit to follow this man's example. Do not let anyone or anything hold you back from Christ. Do not let any friendship in this world keep you back from Christ. The Bible says, the fear of man, it bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Do not let
friendships or the fear of what others say hold you back from Christ or hold you back from getting right with God. I remember a number of years ago being involved in a mission. And there was three middle-aged gentlemen who came out to that mission, came out regularly to the meetings. It was a three-week mission. And they attended those meetings well a couple of times every week. And my, there's one of them in particular, you could see in the meetings that he was troubled, that he was concerned in his heart and in his soul about his need of salvation. That was very evident. In fact, he told it in the community that he was concerned and that he was thinking of getting saved and getting right with God at that mission. But you know, the mission passed, it came to a close. And he never got saved, never got right with God. Why? And he said it himself, I was afraid of what my two friends would say. If I got saved at that mission, if I got right with God. And to the best of my knowledge to this very night, neither him or his two friends are still unsaved. They're still unconverted. They're still not right with God. There was a time of great war going on in his soul. A time when he was concerned, that man, about Christ and the need of salvation. But because of the fear of others, because of the friendship of others, he did not come through for Christ. He did not call upon the Lord at that time for salvation. Friend, don't you be like that. Don't let any friendship in this world hold you back from Christ. Don't let the love of sin hold you back from Christ. For the Bible says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. My sin will destroy your life. Sin will destroy your soul. My, don't let any love for this world, whatever that love is, hold you back from Christ. The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This world cannot profit you regarding the salvation and the eternal well-being of your soul. I say, let nothing, let no one hold you back as an individual. I'm coming to Christ and getting right with God. Yes, we see this man's concern, the concern that is revealed in his prayer. But notice secondly tonight, not only his concern, but notice the confession that is associated with his prayer. And you will see that this man, he confesses his sin to the Lord, right in the very presence of the Lord himself. For look at what he says to his friend in verse 41. Remember, they're in the very proximity of Christ here. Verse 41, he says to his friend, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And as this man speaks with his friend, what is he doing there in those words? He is owning his sin before the Lord. He is owning his sin in the very presence of Christ. He says there to his friend, we receive the due reward of our deeds. He knows he's a sinner. That he sinned against God, that he sinned against man, that he's a sinner lost and undone before Almighty God. My, he acknowledges his sin in the very presence of the Lord. And you know, that man knew that he was guilty of sin, and he owns his sin before the Lord. And just as that man was guilty of sin, so it is the same of you and I, every one of us in this meeting. We're all guilty of sin. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I remember years ago speaking to a man in the doors. I remember he said to me very emphatically, he says, I'm not a sinner. I have never sinned. I have never done anyone any harm or done anything wrong. I was taken back by that. But you know, there's many like that in the world tonight. And they'll say, yes, so-and-so down the road's a sinner, but I'm not a sinner. So-and-so down the road does this, they do that. But I wouldn't do that. I'm not a sinner. I've done no one any harm. I live the best I can. I live a straight up and down life. My friend, the Bible makes it very clear that we all have sinned before God. You think of the words of Charles Wesley, the great hymn writer. He said, vile and full of sin I am. He realized his need as a lost sinner before God.
And my, if you are to be saved from your sins, if you are to be sure of heaven, you must confess your sins like this dying thief before the Lord. You must take the sinner's place before Almighty God. You must acknowledge your need as a sinner in the presence of God. You see, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The Bible makes it very clear. You must confess your sins to the Lord. Not to a preacher, not to a man, not to a priest, not to anyone else in this world, but to the Lord. You must not cover your sins before Almighty God. You must acknowledge and confess your sins to the Lord God Almighty, the one with whom we have to do. You think of David of old. What did he say? He said, I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. He acknowledged his sin. This man here, he confesses his sin before the Lord. You'll notice something else here about his confession. Not only does he own his sin, but also this man confesses his fear of God's judgment coming upon him for his sin. For look at what he says there in verse number 40 prior to our text. It says, but the other answering rebuked him. This is the thief who would be saved. He says to his friend, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? My, he knew he was under the condemnation of God for a sin, under the condemnation of eternal punishment and hell for a sin. And he feared that judgment. The fear of God was upon him. There was a trembling in this man's heart. Remember, he was a thief. This was a hard man. This would have been a rough man in society. But the fear of God has come into his heart. The fear of God has come into his soul. Likewise, friend, if you're not saved from your sin, realize tonight that you too will face the judgment of God for your sin. Realize that there is eternal wrath and judgment and punishment for your sin in that place which the Bible calls hell. Now, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says, beware, for there's wrath. There's wrath to come. The Bible says, flee from the wrath to come. I remember well the night I was saved, and I think I mentioned this to you in our testimony a few weeks ago. I was concerned that night before I was saved. I've been lost in my sin and going out into a lost eternity in hell itself. For I knew that there was judgment to come for my sin. Friend, do you realize that tonight, unsaved in this meeting, that there's judgment to come for your sin? Sir Francis Newport was an ungodly man. And whenever he was dying, he said, you need not tell me there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his angry presence. You need not tell me there is no hell, for I already feel my soul slipping into the fire. My, when all was well with him, he lived without a thought or a care of God. But when life was leaving his body, he knew he was going to face his maker, his judge, and that a soul without Christ was going into a lost, Christless eternity. He knew he was heading for a lost eternity, where the fire is not quenched, the place of outer everlasting darkness. Likewise, man, woman, young person, I must warn you that if you die in your sin, you too will be lost in hell forever and ever. Christ says, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God is real upon the unrepentant sinner. He confesses his sin. He confesses his fear of God's judgment for his sin. But notice something else here about this man's confession. He confesses his faith, his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Look at what he says about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 41, in the last part of that verse, as he converses with his friend. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary person. Look at what he says about the Son of God. He says, but this man,
have done nothing amiss. He realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God, that he had done nothing amiss. And with that realization, he calls out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, this man of whom he believes had done nothing amiss. He calls out upon him to save him from his sin. And this he does in the words of our text tonight in faith. When he cries out to the Lord, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was simply in faith calling out upon the Lord to save him, to have mercy upon him, to be merciful to him, even in salvation. He puts his trust here in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless, flawless Son of God, who has been crucified beside him on the hillside of Calvary. Likewise, friend, you too must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If you are to be saved, you must call upon him for salvation. If you are to be saved from your sin and from the awful ruin and plight of your sin, it is Christ you must come to. It is Christ that you must call upon in faith to be your Savior, to save you from your sins, to wash away your sins, to deliver you from your sins. You think of the words of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. A verse maybe that you'll often heard read or quoted at this time of the year, about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, into this world. And there you have the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph, speaking about the naming of the child. And what did the angel say to Joseph? And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus simply means Savior, the Savior of sinners, the promised Messiah, the one promised from the very beginning of time, the Savior that's come. He's the one you must trust in. He's the one that you must look to for your salvation. This man, this faith who was dying, he looked by faith to Christ. He said, Lord, remember me. What does the Lord say to you and I in Isaiah chapter 45? He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that you must look to and trust in for your salvation. My, as the sinless Son of God, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He met the demands of God's holy law that were against you and I because of our sin. This he did by himself, keeping the law of God perfectly for us. And then he took upon himself the penalty of our sin. He bore it upon himself. Peter speaks of that when he speaks of Christ and says, he bare our sins in his own body to the tree. He died the just for us, the unjust, that he must bring us to God. He is the one that you must trust in, that you must look to, you must lean upon for salvation. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tell me tonight, is your faith in Christ for salvation, just like this man so many years ago? We see his concern. We see his confession. Notice one final thing tonight from our text. Notice the consolation that flows from this man's prayer. For look at what the Lord says to him in the next verse, verse number 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. I want you to see this. Whenever he trusted Christ that day, that moment as his Savior, the Lord immediately assured him of a home in heaven. And this is the Lord's great promise to you and I also, and to all who will trust him as Savior and for salvation. Turning your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 5. The 5th chapter of John's Gospel. Look with me, please, at the verse number 24. Here again you see Christ speaking of this wonderful assurance of everlasting life immediately for all those who trust him as Savior
John chapter 5 and the verse number 24, Christ is speaking. He says, verily, verily, in other words, this is absolutely sure and certain. He says, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a promise. The promise is the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you have the assurance of a home in heaven. This is how it was with this dying thief. And you know, this promise here of heaven from the lips of Christ to this man, it really highlights the wonderful grace of God. Here you see the wonder of God's grace. You think about this dying thief that was soon to die. There was no works that he could do. There was no church that he could join. He could not be baptized or catechized or confirmed or whatever. He could not sit at the Lord's table. He himself previously had lived the life of a thief. But my, whenever he repented of his sins and trusted Christ as Savior, God saved him by his grace. And the Son of God assured him of a place in heaven. And there you see the wonder of the grace of God in salvation, like we were singing about earlier on. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, true faith. And likewise, my friend, whenever you come to Christ for salvation, repenting of your sin, then by his grace, the Lord, I tell you, will save you also. The word of God says he will be very gracious unto you. At the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. In grace, he will save you when you call upon Christ for salvation. Now the hymn writer could say, saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful man. Jesus died for me. This man was saved by God's grace. Every believer in this meeting tonight is saved by God's grace. Likewise, my unconverted friend in this meeting, if you come to Christ and you trust him, you too will be saved by the mighty, matchless, wonderful grace of God. By the promise of heaven to this dying thief, it also proves to us that there's no such a place here called purgatory. There's no such a place as limbo land. You look again at verse number 43. Notice how Christ uses the word today. He says, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. By the moment this repentant thief died, his soul would go immediately that very day into glory, into God's heaven. For him it would be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And likewise it will be the same for you whenever you trust Christ as Savior. Yes, at death your body goes into the grave to await a glorious resurrection when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and great glory. But at death, your soul, the Bible makes this very clear, when you're saved, your soul goes immediately into heaven, into glory. The Bible says your soul departs the body to be with Christ, which is far better. That very day, this dying thief was to taste the eternal riches of glory in heaven. He had the assurance of heaven. He had the assurance that that very day he was going to heaven. But you know, this promise of heaven to this dying thief, it also shows this dying thief that all his sins, every single one of his sins, were forgiven by God. Why do we say that? Well, you see, the Bible makes it very clear that no one will be in heaven whose sins are not forgiven by God. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Therefore, Christ's assurance of heaven for this man, what did it mean? Christ here, who is the truth, he always speaks the truth. He is the very perfect embodiment of truth. It meant that all this man's sins were forgiven. Every single sin he'd ever committed were forgiven and pardoned by God. That is why Christ said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Every single one of his sins were blotted out through the blood of Christ,
through the blood of the cross. And dear friend, that's the gospel. That's the very heart of the gospel. That's the great news of the gospel. The very moment you put your faith, your trust in Christ for salvation as a repentant sinner, God will forgive all your sin. Think of the words of that great gospel hymn, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. The Lord says to those who trust him, he says, I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own name's sake and will not remember thy sins. Tell me tonight, is it the burden of your heart to be sure of heaven like this man? Is it the burden of your heart to know the forgiveness of all of your sins? And I urge you tonight to come in faith to the Lord like this man. He invites you to do so. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, at the age of 33, upon asked the question, are you a Christian? A lady called Charlotte Elliot came under deep conviction of sin. And she was greatly troubled about her own personal need of salvation. And shortly after that, she took the vital step of faith. She trusted Christ as her Savior. She passed from darkness to light, from fear and doubt to the blessedness of peace with God and the great assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven. 12 years after that, she described her experience of coming to the Lord in her famous hymn. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, tonight, are you longing for the pardon of your sin? Are you longing for peace with God? Are you longing to be sure of heaven? Follow that lady's example. Come just as you are to Christ. Follow the example of this dying thief who came just as he was nailed to the cross. Lift up your heart in prayer to the Lord. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to cleanse you. Praise God, the promise of the Word of God is this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to close our meeting tonight. We're singing together hymn number 281. 281, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. 281, we're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth verse. Verses 1, 3, and 4, along with the chorus, standing as we sing, 281.
Thank you.
our Father and our God, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us. Lord, bless Thy word and write this word, this dying man's prayer, Lord. Write it upon every heart. Write it, Lord, upon every soul in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one in this meeting who can rejoice as the hymn writer rejoiced in the precious blood of Christ to cleanse away all sin. But Lord, if there's any in this meeting tonight and they're not yet saved, O Lord, this night may the common faith and in repentance call upon the Lord for mercy and salvation. Answer prayer to this end. Part us with Your fear and with Your favor. Take us to our separate homes in safety. Bless us throughout this new week. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen and amen.